The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
If you are looking for life and career enhancements, you need experts that have been there, done that, tried, sometimes failed, and ultimately succeeded. Welcome to The Business of Living with Scott Ventrella. You may be looking for help with relationships, health and wellness, home life, career, finance, or faith. We hopefully have the answers you are seeking. Now, here is your host, Scott Ventrella.
Welcome to the show. I'm Scott Ventrella, and for this week, I'm going to wade into a territory that I know really nothing about. How do you like that? We're going to talk about dating, and actually specifically online dating. So, okay, this is not something, fortunately, I've had to deal with for, I don't know, maybe close to 30 years. And back when, you know, back in those old days, it was a different kind of a game. You know, if you wanted to meet somebody, generally, you know how that went. It was you'd meet somebody in college, or you'd meet somebody through your social circles, or somebody you happened to, you know, let's say bump into, you know, working at a store or something like that. You strike up a conversation, all that stuff. It was, or you'd go to, of course, the bars. There was always the bar scene. And I remember, because I was a disc jockey many years ago, and when they did not have many of the nightclubs, actually, instead of having live bands, they would have disc jockeys. And so I was working as a disc jockey at a place called the Dial Tone. It was the Dial Tone, and it was a bar, and it was a pickup joint. And so at your table, there would be a phone, literally a phone. And if you saw somebody that you wanted, that you were somehow attracted to, you'd have their table number, and you could kind of call, you know, and it was more or less anonymously. Obviously, you know, they didn't know what table you'd be sitting at. So we, that was the kind of, that's my, kind of the, my experience, let's say. Well, here we are in 2014. And it's totally a different game. And what I want to talk today about is the online dating. It's, I would say, it's probably the closest thing to the, again, in my experience, to the blind date. And, you know, given the internet and the dating sites, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Cupid, Match.com. But I did just, in preparing for the show, I did a little bit of a search, and it's amazing at how specialized some of these websites are. So I mentioned a few. There's eHarmony, there's Zoosk, and then there's Our Time. That's for people 50 years and over. There are a website called Christian Mingle, and that's for religious Christian singles. There is a site called Black People Meet for, you know, Black African American, if you want to meet someone. There is J-Date for people of the Jewish faith. There is Foreign Girlfriend. How do you like this? Foreign Girlfriend. This is for men looking for Eastern European brides. So you couldn't get, you know, more specific than that. And then one more. We've got one for professional singles over 40. So like I said, you know, my guess is, you know, you got a lot more choices. Those of you looking, you know, wherever you are in your stage of life, you have a lot of choices. And I would say, this is my guess, with those choices come some, you know, complexity, let's say. And I would imagine a reasonable amount of risk. But since I'm not the expert here, and like I said, I'm going to wade into a territory that I know very little, if anything, about. I do have someone who has some experience with this, who is a relationship expert or guru, And that's Georgine Summers, who, by the way, is also a Voice America talk show host, author, adventurer, wildlife photographer. I mean, I don't know. Georgine has lived, you know, multiple lives, I think, like the cat with nine lives. And, you know, Georgine, maybe you're up to, I don't know what number. I won't put a number on there. But welcome to the show, Georgine.
Thank you for having me, Scott. It's nice to be here on this Saturday morning.
Yeah, so, you know, you caught the introduction. I mean, so I don't even know where we want to jump in, but I would imagine, let's say you're thinking about going the, and I was going to say the unconventional route, but again, based on a little bit of research that I did, it seems like, you know, online dating is more conventional. In fact, I've seen some stats, some research that's been done that indicates more than half the people, that's how they're meeting their mates, is, you know, via online. So, I mean, does that jive with, you know, with your experience?
Well, I think right now there's over 54 million singles in America, and more than 41 million have tried online dating at one point or another. It's kind of interesting. When we talked about this yesterday, I'm not a statistical person, but I did a little research, and 52.5% are male, and 47.5% are female. And I thought that was kind of interesting. The average age of the male is 44, and the average age of the female is 42.
Why did you see that as interesting in terms of the, first of all, in terms of the percentage, would you expect that one, you know, one sex over the other would be more interested in the, you know, kind of the online route?
Yes, actually, I was surprised that there were more men than women that were online, because my experience has been that there were a lot of women looking for a male partner. And so I was a little surprised. It's not that much off, but I thought it would be skewed the other way, frankly.
Yeah, actually speaking, and this is good, you know, we've got, you know, so a female guest and male host, and from my perspective, I know, you know, my guy friends that are single, again, I know many that do the online route, but also at least some of the guys that I know that are single, you know, they're not afraid to just, if they see somebody that they may be interested in, again, to kind of strike up a conversation. And it just seems that, I hope this doesn't sound sexist, but I generally speaking, at least, you know, as I think back over the years, you know, women don't seem to, they don't seem to be, let's say, that forward or that outgoing, again, if they meet somebody in public where they're going to really go too far out of their way to, try to get to know them. So, I'm just basing it on a limited, let's say, sample here.
Well, I have some very set ideas about online dating, and actually I've proven them myself in a personal relationship, and I have friends that have listened to me, and I think the first thing is I don't think people know themselves very well. And so I think the number one thing that you need to do before you do anything is to know who you are and what you want. And it's all about what kind of a relationship are you looking for, because you can have anything on the internet. You can have friends with benefits. You can have a one-night stand continuously with different people. And I don't think age really is a factor very much. Or you can have a long-term relationship. I met someone online after 3 divorces and 20 years of not being in a real serious relationship, living in Africa. And I met my soulmate online when I was 62 years old. And so we've been married now 10 years. So I think there is no real boundaries here. The big if is, if you do it correctly, and I think most people jump into it and they don't do it correctly.
So let's, just to back up for a second, so you said, and I like this a lot, it's, you know, you need to know who you are, what do you want. So for the purposes of this show, I'd like to make an assumption that, you know, you're looking for something longer term. And I'm not necessarily saying marriage, maybe it's long-term companionship, or possibly, you know, a longer-term commitment such as marriage. So because, you know, one night stands, things like that, well, that's a maybe a different show. But
great when you're 20.
Yeah, so let's make the assumption that you're looking for something, you know, somewhat of a longer-term commitment. But I want to back up to the who you are. What do you mean by that? And, you know, relative to in the context of, you know, online dating, when you say, you know, you need to know who you are, don't we know who we are? And why is that important?
Well, I don't really think people pay very much attention to it. They go through life. They have a model of the world that was really created when they were children. And you're accepting generally someone else's rules. And unless you can break away from that and find out who you are, what are the rules that go in your life? Because I think as children, we learn fear. And that's how we're brought up. And we're all brought up that way because parents want to protect their kids. And so they tell them, don't do this, don't go out in the street, you know, don't talk to strangers, don't play with matches. So everything is fear-based. And so you grow up, and unless you can break away from that and get who you are, who are you, and what do you want? So, for example, I say, you know, when I coach people, are you a better listener? Or do you want somebody that listens to you? Are you a giver, or do you like to have somebody give to you? Mm-hmm. Are you an observer in life? Are you a participant? Are you a risk taker, or are you somebody who plays it safe all the time? There are a lot of things that we just sail through life, and we don't think about those things. But I think when you're going online, that you need to know who you are. You need to know what sort of relationship you want. Do you want a long-term? So we're going to say, okay, you want a long-term relationship, something committed that's more, not a friend with benefits. And so what do you want in the other person? What are you looking for? And what won't you put up with under any circumstances? We don't know that. People go online. They just go. They see a picture. They say, wow, he looks good or she looks good. And they just sail in. They hit the send button. And off they go. And that's why, in my opinion, you see so many horror stories and hear so many horror stories about people going online and they went out with somebody who wasn't what they said they were going to, who they were. Horrible stuff. And that's why, because they aren't clear in their own mind about what they want.
So when you say you also need to, so you need to know what you want and also things that, you know, you would not accept, or you absolutely don't want. I mean, that could come across initially as, well, you know, gosh, this person is not very flexible, or they're really demanding, or they're kind of bossy. I mean, would you just come right out and say that? And again,
no.
I don't know how this works, but
let me say this. I call it deal breakers. You know, when people get into a quote relationship, whether, and a relationship can be anything. It can be friends, lovers. It could be 1 week, 2 months. The things that they end up breaking up about were always there. That they were never hidden. And I think that women, unfortunately, have a tendency to divine what they want to hear rather than what's really happening. And so they go into a situation, and I'm not saying that you want to be bossy or you want to be inflexible. That's not what it's about. It's about knowing what you're not going to accept. So, for example, someone who says, I don't really want to have children, then if you see on a profile a guy who has a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old and he has them every other week, this is probably not a workable situation. So I say, next, go on to someone else, because at the end of the day, that isn't going to work for you. So you need to know yourself. You need to know what you're not going to accept. A man who smokes, for example, and you don't smoke, and you think you can make him stop. You can't. So if in the profile it says smokes on occasion, then you need to move on.
And that reminds me of, you know, when you're looking, you know, in the classifieds, let's say for a job, and it says travel 20% of the time. It's really travel, maybe in reality, it's like 60% of the time. So if somebody says smokes occasionally, you can probably bet that it's more than occasional too. I think that people will tend to downplay, let's say, something that could be perceived as negative.
Right, but there's, you know, it doesn't matter to somebody who doesn't like smoking and doesn't want to be around it.
Yeah,
one
whether
cigarette
it's once a day
is too much.
That's right, it's too
so,
much.
So, you know, I know people and I've coached people where they say, you know, they think they can change it and they can fix it. And I say the same thing every time to everyone. I say it 100 times. Change only occurs when the person requiring the change desires the change. There are no negotiations with this. And so women go into situations where they know that it's not good. I recently had somebody tell me that they met somebody, oh, it was a connection, and my soulmate, and this is really incredible. But the person has a child, a little child, and this person doesn't want to have children. And we're talking a little kid, 3 years old. Okay, so this is a no-brainer. It's a deal-breaker. And if you want to be first in somebody's life and that person has young children, then you can bet your bottom dollar that that's not going to happen. So when I say know what you're not going to accept, those are the things, you know, there are other things. There's always issues in relationships, and there are always compromises. I mean, that's what a relationship is all about. You compromise. But when there's a blatant deal-breaker, a guy drinks and you don't, person smokes and you don't, person has kids and you don't want them, these are all really major things. I had somebody that I heard of through a friend where she was dating somebody in the beginning where he smoked grass, and she doesn't like it, but she thought she could fix it. And so 6 months later, and her being pregnant, she can't fix it, and so they're not together anymore. And she has a little kid with him. So these are non-negotiable things. And so that's why I say you need to know what you, who you are, what you want, what sort of relationship are you looking for, and what do you want in a person, in a partner, and what won't you put up with? And because otherwise, you're just flying blind in bad weather. I mean, you can go in there, and this is what women do, and this is the unfortunate part, because they end up saying, oh my God, this is a horror story. It could have been avoided if you had been clear about what you don't want and not think that you can change that person. You can't.
And you're talking about, again, these are substantial things, whether it be, you know, children, smoking, alcohol, hot grass, drugs.
Workaholic.
We're not talking about toilet seat up down, toothpaste cap.
No, not at all.
You know, you're talking about really the important things again, longer term, like you said, and I love that too. I agree that, you know, the things later on that can create a breakup, you know, they're always there. I think we do have a tendency to, let's say, ignore it, overlook it, or like you said, where we think we can actually, you know, change the person. We're actually going to be headed to a break in just a minute. We're speaking with Georgine Summers. Georgine is a relationship guru and also a talk show host at Voice America. And we're talking about online dating. And when we come back after the break, we're going to really start to dig into, you know, some of the do's, some of the don'ts. Like I said at the beginning of the show, there are an awful lot of sites out there. There's ways to go about this. I think there are right ways, and then there are wrong ways that can lead you down the wrong path. So like I said, when we come back, we will continue the discussion. And if you'd like to join the show, please do call us at 866-472-5788.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com. If you are interested in real estate in America's largest city or anywhere, be sure to listen for Good Morning New York Real Estate with Vince Rocco. Although our focus is on Manhattan and other real estate markets in and around New York City, we'll have plenty of information that will help you successfully buy, sell, and close a transaction no matter where you are in the world. Good Morning New York Real Estate with Vince Rocco can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. in New York, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The world we live in has become a crazy place. Poverty is at an all-time high in the wealthiest nation on earth. We keep calling on government to save us with new programs. And now, we have more people using food stamps than any time in our history. This problem continues to get worse. The answer to poverty is in our homes, churches, and communities, and through our children. Get the answers from The Mickey Ellison Show, Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
We all love our best friend, especially when that best friend is a canine best friend. Now there's a show just for the dogs, or the people who love them. Tune in to Dogs Rock Radio with host Pamela Hill. With your stories and advice from the experts, we'll show just how much love and purpose dogs bring to our lives and others around us. You'll also learn about canine fitness, training, and health and wellness. Make Dogs Rock Radio a weekly stop every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is The Business of Living with Scott Ventrella. To reach the show today, call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to scott@thebusinessofliving.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. We're here with relationship guru Georgine Summers and talking about online dating. Before the break, Georgine supplied us with some, I think, excellent tips about, you know, how to begin to approach this this whole idea of online dating, you know, knowing yourself, knowing what you want out of this, and also, and we kind of left off with knowing what you don't want and what the deal breakers are. So, Georgine, again, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Scott.
Yeah, so on the deal breakers, we left off there. I think that's important as well, because we want to make sure that, and I think that's sometimes where we can kid ourselves. We say, oh, well, that's really nothing. When it actually, you know, is something, or we just figure that we can kind of change the person. So I think that was just excellent advice.
Well, I think, too, we were talking about massive deal breakers like alcoholism, drug abuse, smoking, having children when the other person doesn't want them.
You know, but girlfriends on the side.
I always say deal breakers are different for different people. What a deal breaker for me might not be for someone else. So it's important that you know yourself and what you want. I mean, we were talking about the major deal breakers, but it could be something simple as it could be that one person's a sports nut and the other person doesn't really care about sports at all. That could be a deal breaker for someone. Or it could be something about the person's character that doesn't really work for you. Maybe you mentioned something about environmental things. I think it goes to a person's consciousness. If that consciousness doesn't work for you, then you have to move on. And so, you see these things early on. They're there.
So let me ask you this, and really just to get an understanding here, because I can imagine, you know, what about the people, I'm thinking of a couple that I knew where you use the example of a sports nut. So I think of one couple that I knew where, you know, his wife really wasn't a sports nut, but thought, okay, you know what, I'm gonna try to learn what I can about the sport, and I'm gonna go to a game occasionally, and actually that worked out. You know, that worked out really well. Where in this particular case, so they weren't so rigid. Where they, you know, like, okay, well, he's a sports nut, I'm not. Is it a degree, or is it somebody that's fanatical about it? You know, we're almost to the point of obsession.
I think it's a matter of. Again, I say you need to know what your deal breakers are. For me, somebody who's a sports quote nut, that wouldn't work for me at all. I wouldn't be able to deal with that. I wouldn't be. In my youth, I did have a husband who was a sports nut, and we went to some games, and I did that. But as I've grown older, it's not something that I'm interested in. I know the difference between a basketball and a football, but I don't really care. And
right.
So I don't really want to do that. So when I met my husband in Africa, he's also not a sports nut. And so it works perfectly because neither one of us care. But I think that's why I say you have to know yourself. And it could be where somebody goes ahead and says, okay, well, I'm not a sports nut, but I'll learn. And so obviously it's not a deal breaker, but that's why I think you have to look and be honest. That's the biggest thing. Be honest, because you're not fooling anybody but yourself.
Well, that is, so now let's dig in a little bit deeper. And the trigger word for me there was the honesty, because again, even though I have zero experience with this, I know a lot of people that have kind of, you know, they've gone into the direction of online dating, and I'm even appalled. People that I know really well that, you know, they doctor up their pictures, they lie about their age, and of course, you know, I mean, you can't have a picture where you're looking like Brad Pitt and say you're 30 when you're actually 50. I mean, you know, it's just not going to work. So, share some thoughts on that. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, I say this. As far as age goes, I think if you can put down, we're very youth-oriented, I mean, obviously, and I'll be honest that I don't look my age, and everybody who knows me and sees me knows that I don't look my age at all. And when I have been online before, and when I was online in Africa, I knocked 15 years off, or 20 years, I don't even remember, off my age. My husband is 10 years younger than me, but I didn't look it. So I always say, don't lie about something that you can be caught about. So I know of situations where guys went to pick up women that had these beautiful pictures, and they said they were like voluptuous, and what they were is they spread through the doorway, and so they were like 300 pounds. That isn't voluptuous, everybody.
No.
So I think
it's
don't
in the eye
lie
of the
about
beholder.
Anything that's going to be obvious when you meet that person. So if you look like you're 70 or 60, and you put up a picture when you were in high school, that isn't going to work. I don't believe in doctoring pictures. I've always put my proper picture up there. It's just that I don't look my age. If you can do that, I say probably, you know, when I finally did tell my soon-to-be husband my age, he already knew because of the maturity that I had and the things that I knew and times, you know, I would date myself with music and things like that, but he said he didn't care. But I don't think that you have to go out of your way as far as age if you don't look your age.
Again, I'm thinking about but if your picture look, you know, if you look 15 years younger and your picture represents, you know, the current, then why not just say, hey, this is my age? I guess I'm, you know, as a business ethics professor and you know, look, I know there are white lies and things like that, but I don't know. I've always encouraged people to be truthful with those kinds of things when it comes to whether it be a resume, and in a sense, you know, an online dating profile or LinkedIn or Facebook for that matter is a form of not the same thing as a resume, but you're putting certain facts about yourself. Why would somebody do that though?
Well,
why not just be forthright?
You asked. I think because we have a mindset about certain ages. So if I say to you, you know, we have this picture of what that particular age group looks like. So if you say I'm 60, or if you say I'm 70, there's an automatic picture that comes up in your mind. I look around here at where I live, and I see women and men who are 20 years younger than me and look like they could be my mother. And so
right.
For me to say, yes, I'm XYZ age, there's a picture that forms. So you go online, you look at my picture, you look at my age, and then suddenly you say, well, that picture's not right, because that person can't look like that. And so there's this, I think, attitude that people have where you say 70, there's a picture that forms in your mind automatically.
No,
gray-haired, hunched over, shuffling along.
Yeah,
no good.
With a cane. Yeah, I mean, look at Renee Zellweger, who I thought was, I don't know her age. I think she's probably in her 40s, and she's an attractive woman, and she just made herself into something else that, oh my gosh, yeah. So you're right. We are very youth-oriented.
And we have a picture. I have a friend that went online years ago, and she put that she was 62. She never got one single solitary response. I said, knock a few years, put down 54. And so she did, and suddenly her mailbox was full. So we're very age-oriented, and we have a picture of what that age group looks like.
So then, let's say, fills the funnel in the sense of, like you said, the mailbox was full. And then, intuitively, you meet the person, it starts getting serious. Obviously, then, you know, the truth's got to come out. You're taking a little bit of a risk, but it seems like a reasonable risk.
But you see, once the person knows you and you've gone out with them and it's turning serious, then they're not going to care about that. I mean, I believe in being honest. But I think if it's going to step in the way of you meeting people, then I think a little white lie is not going to hurt.
Okay. So now, as we get into more of the do's, share some of the things that, some additional tips, let's say, as you're, and I'm assuming, again, because I don't have any experience with this, that you develop a, so if you go to like match.com, is it, and I'm sure the websites are similar, you're putting in certain information about yourself?
Well, here's where it starts. I say it starts with your profile. And then the second step, and that's a big issue, is your profile. What you put down, don't put down some sexy name like hot sexy lady or, you know, sexy for you. Don't do that. If you're looking for a long-term relationship or a committed relationship, don't start with that kind of stuff. You want to stay away from the sexual aspects, because you can go out and find somebody who wants to have sex every single night. I can do that now. if I was single, I could do it now. If that's not what you want, then you don't want to lay a foundation to have your mailbox full of people who just want to go out and basically get laid. That's not what you want.
Sending the wrong message, yeah.
You're sending the wrong message. So I say no provocative pictures of you laying on the stairs or in a little bikini. Don't do that. You know, have a couple of nice pictures of yourself in different outfits. But nothing sexy. Don't make your username sexy. Like, you know, don't say hot to trot or sex slave or kinky baby.
If that's what you're looking for, that's one thing. But we're talking about longer
exactly.
term. Now, I read a piece recently where guys were having pictures taken with, you know, wild game, like lions, tigers, leopards, again, for their online dating profile, because it made them look, you know, worldly and adventurous and you know, rough and, you know, all that stuff, or macho.
That would be a deal breaker for me, right there with the picture.
Right. And they pay a lot
type of guy.
What kind of guy is that, would you say?
Well, somebody who needs to... He's got a big ego and needs to try to show that he's a man. But I don't think that's a masculine thing to go out and be killing wild animals. I mean, I lived in Africa for 9 years and have gone on safaris for years by myself. And I think that shows me that the person isn't a man at all.
Actually, Georgine, these are live animals. So somehow they get access to these wild, and not out in the wild, obviously. Uh-huh.
Maybe at a
zoo kind of a thing, or I read a piece on that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's the same thing. I do think it's about ego and about showing that, you know, I'm a worldly person. I'm an adventurous person, and I thought it looked kind of goofy. But anyway,
well, and I think it's certainly not endearing.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe for some women, you know, that could be. I don't know. Like I said, I agree with you. That would it just looked kind of corny. But anyway, going on with some of your tips, I think that, you know, great advice on both the name, the, you know, the dress. You see some really, I mean, just even on, you know, with not so much on LinkedIn, that's a little bit more professional, but on Facebook, and people that I know, I'm thinking, wow, I've never seen them like that, male or female, where they, you know, what are you trying to do here? What are you, you know, what are you conveying here? And not just sexually, but just, you know, what image or, you know, what brand are you trying to convey here? Because people can go really pretty far out there.
Well, and then the thing is, the internet's anonymous. Anybody can be anybody that they want to be, and that's why it can be a frightening place. But if you deal with things properly, intelligently, it's an incredible opportunity. It's a buffet of all different kinds of people that you have an opportunity to meet. And I don't think in our lives, you know, people generally stay in a comfort zone. They stay in the same neighborhood or close to the same neighborhood that they were born in. They don't really make radical changes. And so in a lifetime, how many people do you meet? People are meeting in high school, getting married, and thinking they're going to stay together forever. But in reality, you don't meet very many people, even if you date a lot. A couple of thousand people in your lifetime? Maybe. Pretty far-fetched. But on the internet, you can meet people from all over the world. And if you're intelligent about it and you're careful and concise in how you do it, you can, just think of this. I was living in Africa. I moved there by myself and I met my soulmate who's British. He had moved to Africa from Great Britain. So we never would have met, and we met online. So you have this incredible opportunity, and I think most people don't go about it the right way, and that's why there's horror stories out there.
So you met online. You met your husband online. Was it when you were in South Africa?
No, I was living there. I moved there when I was 60.
Right, right.
And 2 years later, I wanted a dinner companion, and so I actually Match.com, and I had met a couple of, I was interested in having a long-term relationship finally, so I was going to sell my house in Africa and move back to the States. And I just needed somebody to round out dinner parties. But I wanted somebody attractive and somebody interesting. And I found him. The picture was interesting, and I was looking for different things. But there were things that I saw right away when we met. And I remember saying, gee, he is an amazing person. I wish he wanted a relationship, because neither one of us were really looking for that. I was coming back to America. And he had been divorced for 5 years and was just looking for companionship because he'd been working with the Zulu. And he didn't speak Zulu, and they didn't speak English. And so he wanted someone for good conversation, you know, a movie and dinner occasionally. And so we were both looking for different things, and found love.
Did it match? In other words, the description that you read that led to your interest in saying, "Hey, let's meet now face to face." When you met him and had your conversation, was there? Because I would imagine, I think of the word congruence, that a fit. You know, that you know, the words on the page that you read, and then when you actually meet and you have a conversation, that it ought to be fairly, you know, fairly close. Was that your experience?
He was a little bit shy, but the first night that we met, we closed the restaurant down to where they were putting the chairs up on the tables.
Yeah.
And our second date was the same thing, where they were putting chairs up on the tables. And so we ended up having a lot to communicate about, and it was clear early on that there was a spark there. I mean, I was attracted to him when I saw his picture, but I was not planning on staying in Africa. So it was just, I certainly didn't want to have somebody that looked like Godzilla to round out my dinner party. So I wanted somebody who was attractive to me and really was an interesting person that could add something to, you know, any events that I wanted to go to or dinner parties that I had.
So he was shy, but his profile didn't necessarily say, "Hey, I'm a shy guy, you know, quiet until you get to know me." But anyway, so that wasn't a huge shock to you. We're going to go to a break. We're talking with Georgene Summers. We're talking about online dating. And when we come back, we're going to dig a little bit more deeper into some of the do's and don'ts so that you can be most successful in your online dating adventures, let's say. Hopefully they're not too adventurous. We'll be right back. Right after these messages.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus, creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson in The Sea Around Us said, "All at last, return to the sea." to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end.
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth. Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
What if there was a radio show that could demonstrate how we can cut your taxes in half without diminishing needed government services? One that could explain how to create tens of millions of jobs at no cost to taxpayers, as well as fantastic yet easily affordable health care. Side effects include cutting crime rates nationwide, providing better education for our children, international peace and harmony, and protecting your private personal data from government intrusion. Tune in to Libertarians Working for You with Arvind Vora, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
This is The Business of Living with Scott Ventrella. To reach the show today, call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to scott@thebusinessofliving.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us. We're speaking with Georgine Summers on online dating. Lots of good stuff here. And so, Georgine, now let's say you're doing all the right things. You're putting information out there about yourself, about the authentic self, and you're being very clear on what you want and what the deal breakers are and all of that. And now let's say, so now your mailbox is filling up and you've got to kind of sort through, okay, at some point, and my guess would be, okay, either it starts with a phone call, but eventually it's going to, if there's sufficient interest, mutual interest, there's going to be a face-to-face. And unlike at the beginning of the show where I had mentioned that, you know, back in, you know, when I was dating, you know, generally it was through a friend of a friend or through somebody you knew at college or at work. That was a fairly, that's how I met my wife, at work. And so you had time to really get to know the person, you know, what they were all about. This is different. It's, you know, it's online. People can say a lot about themselves that is not necessarily, you know, it's one thing about, you know, age. Okay, we talked about that as a white lie. But then people can actually, you know, they can be somebody totally different. You know, like, in fact, I would imagine, you know, there are probably plenty of married men that are, you know, putting themselves out there as single and, you know, all of that, or that they've got a big position or they're a certain income when in fact, that's not true. So let's say, and you don't know, there's all kinds of characters out there, but now you've got to get to, you're moving towards the face-to-face. Let's pick it up from there.
Well, I think we have to step back a bit because I think we jumped over an entire thing that needs to be done before that. And so let me just encapsulate a little bit here, because your mailbox is not necessarily full, and I always say you need to be proactive here. I think a lot of times women sit back and say, oh, well, I want that person to call me. Here's the thing. When you go through and you look proactively at different pictures, I say don't ever even consider contacting somebody that doesn't have a picture. You want to see the picture. So you go through I recommend being proactive. Go through the pictures. You find somebody that you like. Now, you go to that profile. You look at the profile and you dissect that profile of this person that looks like Brad Pitt. And you say, okay, this is good, this is good, this isn't good. And this all goes back to knowing what you want. You don't lay out the deal breakers in your profile. You lay out a little bit about yourself. You make yourself interested and interesting, and you know that you want to be able to pull someone in to make yourself interesting enough so that somebody is going to want to speak to you. So you look at that profile, and let's just say that you see that that person has everything, at least on paper, that looks good. What they say and what they don't say. If somebody said, oh, I love long walks on the beach during the winter, that's somebody who probably isn't really taking this very seriously. You want somebody who's taking it seriously and is really looking for a real relationship.
Is that just too cliche, the long walks on the beach?
It's too cliche, right.
Yeah, okay.
Fireplaces in the summer. It says this person isn't really taking it seriously.
Got it, okay.
And so you now you've got this guy. Let's just say that you've gone through that profile, you've looked at it really carefully, and now what you've done is you've written, and what I say as far as now you want to be proactive. So you're going to contact this person. So you make a subject line, and I say have something witty, something smart. It can be something that you've extracted out of their profile. Let's say the person loves climbing in Tibet. You can say, you know, Tibetan Sherpa looking for someone to climb with. You can, you know, make up something clever, interesting, because if this person is really an interesting man, you can bet his mailbox is probably full. So you want him to see your profile. You want him to look at your email. And then you can say something witty. You don't have to, you're not writing a novel here. You want to say, you know, maybe Match.com thinks that we're suitable for each other. What do you think? You know, cute and witty. All right, so now we'll say he writes you back. Your mailbox, and it's right away. So you can communicate back and forth via the Match.com or whatever dating site that you're on. And it comes time where you should be talking on the phone. I would say you get their number and you call them. And the reason is because it provides a lot of information. You know whether or not that person is who they say they are. You call their office, get their work number and their home number. You call their office. If they give you a cell phone number, there's a reason that they don't want you calling their home. Now, that could be because they're living with someone. This is valuable information. Sitting back and saying, oh, I want the man to call me, that doesn't give you the information that's critical. If this man's married or this man's living with someone, you want to know that early on. And so calling them at home, calling them at the office, for example, if this person says he's a CEO of a major Fortune 500 company, wouldn't it be good to know whether he is or he isn't?
Well, and so. Yeah. I would think that's more easily verifiable, but I know an awful lot of people that have gotten rid of their landlines just for economical reasons and can only be reached at home. Now, we're not talking about business, even though a lot of business people no longer have the landlines. But at home, that would be, I would imagine, a little bit more difficult given the fact that, again, most people now have swapped out their landlines for, their smartphones.
Well, I suppose that is. I mean, I still have a landline. I find it more reliable. But I think it's important that you call, you contact that person, you talk on the phone.
Yeah.
And then let's just say we'll fast forward and say after you speak on the phone, because a lot can happen on the phone. If that person is inappropriate in any way and says things like, oh, I'd love to see what you look like in a pair of tight jeans, you want to move on because that person is indicating to you he's not interested in a real relationship. He's looking really for a one-night stand. He can present it any way he wants to because men have become very clever in representing themselves. There are men that go out and say that they're gay just because they want the woman to feel comfortable with them and not feel worried that he's going to, you know, try to come on to her. There's all kinds of different ways that men present things because they've gotten smart to know what women want to hear, so they say that. So you have to be careful and watch for the signs. And then if you get, when you get to a place where you're actually going to meet this person, and this is 100% non-negotiable, you meet them at a public place, mm-hmm. and I suggest that either you meet them, if you're meeting them for cocktails, always be prepared that it could move into dinner. If it's an interesting evening for cocktails, it could be dinner. Make sure that there's a restaurant in walking distance of where your meeting is. You do not get into a car with anybody. And I know it sounds like a no-brainer, but it isn't. I mean,
No, it doesn't. Not at all. Because think about it. Put yourself into the emotional space where, you know, now let's say you've been having this dialogue either through Match.com or whatever the site might be, or through your, you know, maybe you've exchanged email addresses and now you've been having phone calls and you're beginning to feel a connection. I can imagine, you know, hey, why, you don't trust me? You know,
right.
Where you begin to feel like, yeah, I really do know this person.
I know this person.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
you don't.
And you're saying absolutely. I think that's great advice, and it's smart advice.
Well, and it's also, I say, you know, at the very least, you don't need to end up having somebody pick you up so that after the at the end of the evening, you can be pinned up against the door by someone. Mm-hmm. You don't need that. You want to know as much about this person as possible. The longer that you go without getting sexually intimate, the better chance you have of seeing everything unfold. It's not going to unfold in one date. The more exposure that you have, the more you peel away, as I say, the layers of the onion, the more you know what's really underneath. Because just because you've had a few phone conversations with somebody and you've had dinner with them and it went really well, you don't know that person. You need more information, and every time that you see that person, every time you're exposed to that person, once you sleep with that person, then the blinders go on, and you're emotionally connected, and then anything that reveals itself, you ignore, or you think you can change.
So let's say the first couple of dates, you know, there it may be a drink, coffee, dinner. Would you recommend, trying to see them in different settings? In other words, let's say there's a party or, you know, at a friend's house or a small gathering, because I would imagine, again, people show themselves in... I would imagine even in your coaching work, as in mine, when you're face to face, they can say and do things that are very convincing and very believable. But then I like to actually see them in certain settings. So with me, since I'm doing corporate work, I'll actually I'll sit in on some of their meetings, or I'll have them give me a tour of their office just to see how people interact with them. So that would give you also some insight on the individual, I would imagine, when we're talking about something personal like this, a dating relationship.
I think whatever unfolds, I don't think that it's mm-hmm. necessary for you to manufacture any kind of special events. But I think if you have an event that comes up and you feel like you want to invite this person, and it's a small gathering with friends or family, then you could do that. But I think the thing I have to stress is that you should not sleep with this person until you really have a handle on who they are and they know who you are. And you can't put a time limit. I can't say, oh, well, 4 dates or 6 dates or 8 dates. I think you know when you actually, for example, in my case, we loved each other as who we were, for who we were as people, before we got involved intimately. And so I don't know how long now it was, but I was very straightforward. I don't think that you can go wrong saying, sorry, I'm not going to sleep with you because I want to know you better. This is honest, and it's being truthful with yourself and with this person.
Well, we started off with don't get into the same car. After the first date, you have a great time, then it's okay. He'll pick you up, you pick him up,
I'll give you an example. The first date, never. The second date, it would have been never for me, except that people that I knew, people that I had over at a dinner party the following night that I had had my first date with my husband, knew him. And so it was a very strange thing that they had bought a business from his business partner. And so he was a known commodity. He wasn't somebody that I didn't know. I would say, under normal circumstances, you know, two or three dates before you would have somebody come and pick you up. You need to know who this is because you're meeting them at the on the internet, and people can be anybody. They can have any identification or any identity that they want. And so you need to be sure who you're dealing with before you allow somebody to come to your home and pick you up.
That
so I say
sense.
There's nothing wrong with meeting at a restaurant, and it's safer for you, and I think safety is an important feature when you're meeting online.
Smart advice, great guidance. As we wind down, I had mentioned in the introduction, Georgine, that you have your own show. Tell us a little bit about that. We've got about another minute, and give us a little bit of insight into the your show.
Well, my show is called On the Edge with Georgine Summers, and my mission is to empower women to live life to the fullest and to realize all of their dreams for growth and greatness. And I think women have given their power up, and I think it's time for them to embrace the warrior woman within and to learn how to, for example, I have a topic, and then I have a guest in Smart Talk where it's an empowered and empowering woman who's impacted the world. I talk to women about reinventing themselves, the amazing new you, getting rid of fear, changing your perceptions and changing your life, slaying your emotional vampires, learning how to take control of your own life and not accepting just having somebody with a pulse to make you complete. You're complete already.
Okay.
And so this is what we do.
I appreciate that so much. Georgine, thank you for joining us, and thank you all for listening.
Well, thank you for having me, Scott.
It was great fun, and also, again, I think very smart guidance for those people who are now, you know, venturing into the online dating scene. So, again, thank you all for listening into The Business of Living, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Business of Living. Please join Scott Ventrella for another edition of the show next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll see you here next Saturday.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.